Imadagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Last year, Tony told us about a lady God told him to speak to at a council seminar in Moree. God told him to give her an ultimatum that she needed to decide between heaven or hell. She needed to decide if she was going to follow God or the devil, and she needed to decide that within the next few days. Well, today, Tony is going to tell us the details of that story and what happened after that conversation.
Why do bad things happen to good people? And many times in my life, I've met a lot of people who weren't Christians and they say they're good people, and yet bad things happen to them. I remember a story about that I've shared before, but I want to share a bit more in depth. I remember when I was on council and I was at a Rhodes conference, and we got together like probably 200 councillors were gathered in Moree for this conference. And I saw this attractive woman, and she had a half a dozen councillors hanging around her, all chatting her up. And I didn't know who she was from Adam. But when I looked at this woman, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, Tony, you need to go and talk to that girl. And he said, you need to say what I want you to say to her. And I've always had a deal with God. I said, God, don't tell me what I have to say to people until I open my mouth. You give me the words. Because if I say, if you tell me beforehand, I mightn't be man enough. I might chicken out of it. And I may never go and tell the person what you want me to actually say. At different times in my life, God has given me words for people, and I'm really surprised what comes out of my mouth sometimes. I saw this woman and I decided that, well, okay, God, what do you want me to say? So when I got the minute she was by herself, just for 1 minute, she went outside for a breath of fresh air, and I introduced myself, and I found out that she was a general manager of a council. She wasn't a councillor. And we got talking. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to share with her? And the Lord said to me, Tony, you need to share this with her. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? Would it be in heaven or would it be in hell? And this woman said to me, she said, you know, I'm a good person. I don't cheat anybody. I don't lie. I don't steal from anybody. And I try to help my fellow man wherever I can. I always do what I can to help people. And she said, I think that I'm a really good person. And I would like to think that if I die today, that I'd go to be with God. And I said, that leads me to my next question. I said, where do you stand with God? Are you a Christian? And she said, no, look, I've grown up with God through Sunday school, through the family, through relatives. And she said, I know all about God. I know that he sent Jesus to die for me. I know that God exists, but I don't have a relationship with him. And because I'm a really good person, I don't think I need to. You know what she said? I think that in a few years' time, I'll decide where I want to spend eternity. And I said to her, no. I said, the moment that you die, the decision's already made for you. It's a done deal. The moment you stop living, the moment you stop breathing on this earth, you can't make your decision. You can't make up your mind where you want to spend eternity. You can't say, well, I want to choose heaven or I'll choose hell. The decision's already made for you. And then we just started to talk, and she started to tell me things about what she's doing in the community, how she's helping the Aboriginal community in her town, and now she's putting programs together. In fact, she wanted to employ me to actually come and do some work in the community to help them relate better to council. But she also wanted me to train councillors so that they be better equipped to work with their people. Because that's what I did as well. I was a cultural awareness trainer. And so I spent a fair bit of time with her over the next few days. I actually took her out to the mission, and I showed her the living conditions of the mission, and they was pretty shabby. A lot of the homes didn't have glass in the windows. Yeah, a lot of the homes, you know, didn't have doors on them. on some of the houses. There was old push bikes and prams and everything chucked up there on the roof, and the place didn't look good, not compared to what it was when I was a kid growing up. And so spending this time with this woman and having dinner with her, and then God said to me, for 3 days, I had to keep going back and talking to this woman. And I said to her, if you was to die today, where would you spend eternity? I said, this is the decision you have to make. And I took it literally that she had 3 days to make up this decision, because that's what God said to me. So in 3 days, not 6 months or not whenever she felt that she was going to make this decision. How often do all of us say, well, you know, I don't have time for God now. You know, I'm just sowing my wild oats. I'm just enjoying my mates at the club and enjoying my mates at the pub and playing football, having a barbecue, chasing girls. You know, that's my life now. That's what all young people do. Did they ever think about God? Not a lot of people do. Unless you're a Christian, unless you're in church, or unless you're involved in church. We don't think about God. I know a lot of people that only think about God when somebody dies and they're actually at a funeral. But it passes. You think about God when you're at a funeral, but once you walk out of there, you don't think about God. We think it can't happen to us. We think, oh, well, it could happen to Tony, or it could happen to someone next door, but it's not going to really happen to us. And so there's no need to think about God, and there's no need to give God the time of day. And that's what we're like in this country. We're so full of apathy that we just don't care about anybody but ourselves, and we're so selfish. And this woman said to me, she said, Tony, I've got plenty of time to make up my mind where I'm going to spend eternity. And I said, well, God keeps telling me you got 3 days to make up your mind. And every day I felt it was important to reinforce what God had said to me to tell her. And I really wanted her to start thinking about where she wanted to spend eternity. But you know, the answer that I kept getting is, I'm a good person. I'm really a good person. But can you be a good person and miss the chance of going to heaven? Yes, you can. You can miss the chance of going to heaven, because being a good person isn't a qualification for getting into heaven. Being a good person isn't a good qualification to spend time in eternity with God. Because you need to make a relationship. You need to give your heart to God for that to happen. And it's so simple to do that. But if you don't think about God, and if something happens, a tragedy happens, like a car accident, or anything else can happen. People get electrocuted. Changing a light bulb can get killed. It's so simple that these things happen to us every day. You know, people get up in the morning and they think, well, they don't think that the day that they're going to have to give account for their lives. They get up, they go to work, or the housewife cleans the house. But you don't know when your life's going to come to an end. So if you don't think about it, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But tragedy happens all the time. And people don't think about it because they don't think it can happen to them. And like this woman, I said to her when the conference finished up, have you made a decision where you want to spend eternity? She said, no, I will ring you on Monday and I'll let you know where I stand. And I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think about it, she said. So just know that I've not forgotten what we talked about. I will think about it. And you know, when she left, I stopped thinking about it. I stopped thinking about her. I knew that I fulfilled what God wanted me to do. I talked to her about it. Monday morning, I got a fax on the council fax machine, and the fax was a statement from the council that this woman worked at. And it was actually sent out to all the councils in country New South Wales, and the fax read, there was a tragic accident on Saturday evening. This woman and the mayor, she was the general manager of the council, her and the mayor was on a country road heading to a dinner in a nearby town. People that live on country roads and gravel roads, I mean, they drive at 100 k's an hour because they're used to it. I wouldn't recommend somebody from Sydney or from Melbourne who's never driven on a dirt road or gravel road before to travel at those speeds. But when you grow up on a country road and you drive at those speeds and gravel roads, it's just second nature. Anyway, but all roads, whether they're car roads or gravel roads, they always have obstacles. They always have things you can't see around the next corner. And these people were travelling on a gravel road, and there was a table drain. A table drain is a ditch next to the road, and it's usually for runoff floodwater. When it rains, you get a lot of rain. The water just flows into the table drain and runs away. And normally that's not a bad thing. But when you're driving along, and who's ever driven on a country road and you come around the corner or you see a sign saying cattle ahead or sheep ahead, and you come around the corner and there's 5,000 sheep across the road, you know, on the stock route, or there's cattle on the road. And there's a lot of places in New South Wales where they don't have fences and they just have signs, beware of cattle, beware of sheep on the road. And that's when you need to slow down. But these people are used to driving on country roads. When they came around the corner, there was cattle on the road, and the driver swerved to miss it, and they ended up in the table drain, and the car rolled. And the lady that I was talking to, she was actually killed in that car accident. I maintain that she said, and I know that she, from talking to her friends, that she was a good person. But she died. And you got to say to yourself, why does bad things happen to good people? But she was given every opportunity. God just didn't let her perish and go to wherever she went, whether it was hell or heaven. God didn't let a chance go by. It just didn't happen, and she never thought about God. It happened. But God gave her a warning. And you know, whatever the circumstances, whether she accepted God or didn't accept him, you know, God says one day the books will be open in heaven when we stand before him in judgment. And whatever decision she made, she will never be able to stand before God and say, I wasn't given a chance to accept you. I didn't get a chance to make a commitment to you. Because the books will be opened, and that'll have the date and the time that I gave her the opportunity to get to know God, to accept him as her Lord and Saviour. It wasn't once. For 3 days, I went back and forth, and I asked her, where do you think you're going to spend eternity? Is it going to be in heaven, or is it going to be in hell? I said, when you die, the decision's made. Choice is no longer yours, whose neighbourhood you're going to be hanging out in. And you know, if you're a young person listening to the show today, just remember when you go out on the grog and get on the drink and you start driving, or you're mixing drugs with alcohol or even medication, you can have a car accident. You can hurt somebody. I know somebody that recently was taking medication, and this person is a good person, but because the mixture of the medication and other stuff actually ran over a person on a push bike and didn't even realise they did it. So, you know, just because we're a good person, bad things will happen to us. But you know what? If we're a Christian and these bad things happen to us, God gives us the strength to work our way through it. He never takes away the bad circumstances, but he always gives us the strength and the comfort in his love and his peace to be able to get through it. I couldn't tell you where that lady finished up. I can't say with 100% certainty that she's in heaven. And I can't say with 100% certainty that she's in hell. But I know she was a good person. And I know that I can find peace in my heart that God gave her every opportunity to accept him. So let me say to you today, if God came to you today, whether it was through Pastor Tony or someone of your friends or one of your neighbours, and said to you, where do you think you're going to spend eternity if you was to die today? Or if you was to die in 3 days' time, where would you think you'd spend eternity? Is it going to be heaven or is it going to be hell? It's a free choice, and the choice is yours.
A choice is set before you now. Living or dying, blessing or cursing. And know the time has come around to turn from your fighting and rest in His mercy. Choose life that you might live, the life that He gives. He gives you forever. Choose life the way that is true from the one who chose you, your Father in heaven. Choose life.
Minister to the old people, just say something good about them, you know, talk to them about God and share little stories about my family and that. And often you'd look at them and wonder, you know, how can people put them in these palliative care wards or these wards where they just like a waiting room waiting to die, like an aged care facility, but it was a hospital. Some of these people would never see their families. They just put them there, park them there and not have anything to do with them. And I found that very often when I'd walk around and spread sunshine and just talk to them, ask them how their day was and things like that. And often when somebody died, it was my job to come and remove the body and take them to the morgue. You know, they used to try and get them out of the room, you know, or take them to the TV room, or sometimes they'd just pull a curtain around them and leave them there for a couple of hours because they didn't want to upset them. I used to think, well, you know, if she's not there anymore after the curtain's gone, you know, these people are old, but they're not silly. They realise that this person's died. And I used to always annoy me that the part of the hospital I had these people in, it was on a second story floor overlooking the cemetery. If they wanted to look at something else, they'd have to look at the cemetery. Well, you know, we're all going to go there sooner or later. But, you know, to be looking at it day in and day out with nothing else to do, nothing to live for. And I remember going home and I remember saying to the wife, all the kids were little at the time, when I finish work, why don't we go back and visit some of these old people? Just go back and share what God's put on our heart. And we don't have to share God. We just turn up and be a family for God and visit these people. And you know what little kids are like when they're 4 and 6 years old, or sometimes 8 or 9 years old. They, you know, they're hyperactive, they want to run around and jump on the beds and that. But these old people enjoyed it. When we started visiting and started, you know, visiting one particular lady that I built up a relationship with, and none of her family ever came to see her. The wife said to her one day, "Look, you know, we're Christians. Would you like it if we come back and I read the Bible to you?" And then while the wife would be reading the Bible story, two of the other kids and I would be visiting the other people in the ward. And then often I'd come back and, being an evangelist, I'd come back and share whatever God put on my heart for these people. And, you know, we'd been visiting this lady for maybe 6 weeks, and the wife was reading the Bible to her, the kids was playing with her and talking to her, and, you know, we'd take her some sweets and some lollies and stuff like that, and she just enjoyed having the children around. And anyway, one day I said to her, "Where do you stand with God?" And she said, "To be honest with you, Tony," she said, "I've never thought about God all my life." And she said, "But since you and your family has been coming to visit," she said, "I've had a lot to think about God while you've been reading the Bible to us." And I said, "Well, where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to go to hell in your sin, or do you want to go to heaven?" And she said, "I'd like to go to heaven." She said, "How hard is it? How difficult it is to make a decision to go to heaven?" I said, "Well, it's very simple, actually." I said, "All you need to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner, which we all are." And I said, "All you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart, to come and live inside of you, and ask God to forgive you for all the things that you've done. But thank God that he died on the cross for you and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." It's very simple. And I said, "If you say that, prayer, the sinner's prayer with me, and mean it," I said, "the moment you finish that, God's going to receive you and you'll become a brand new creation, a brand new Christian." We prayed the sinner's prayer. And God's timing is always perfect, because it wasn't very long after that that God called her own to be with him. And, you know, even though she was passed away, I knew where she was. I knew where she spent eternity. And, you know, one day I'm going to look forward to seeing that lady and walking arm in arm over heaven. You see, you think you're a Christian and you think, well, you say to God, you know, "I want this, God, I need health, or I need money, I need finances. God, I need you to change this person, I need you to do that." And every day we get up and say to God what we want. I want you to think about saying to God when you get up of a morning, "What can I do for you?" It's so simple. God would really appreciate it if we gave him some consideration. Instead of saying to God what you can do for us, just say to God of a morning, "What can I do for you?" And you might think, "Well, Tony, I'm not an evangelist like you. I can't sing like Heidi, or can't do this, or I can't do that." And, you know, it's not about what you can't do. It's what God wants you to do. And God says, "I never ask you to do anything that I'm not prepared to give you the power to do it." So in other words, there's no such thing as can't in God's vocabulary. If God wants you to do something, he will give you the strength and the power and the wisdom to do it. You know, only last week I said to God, "What can I do for you today?" And then God sent a family to me that he wanted me to minister to, that he wanted me to pray with. And that's all it is. You say to God, "What can I do for you today?" And then expect God to do something.
In Mark 3:35, Jesus says, "Be a part of the family of God. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Doing the will of God is an extremely rewarding life. If you would like to know more about finding God's will for you, ring Tony on 0427-839-474. That's 0427-839-474. The song we heard in today's program was "Choose Life" by Big Tent Revival. You've been listening to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and I'd love you to join us next week at the same time.